The latest federal figures are out, and they're not good news. They show that an estimated 1,760 U.S. children died from abuse and neglect in 2007. That's up 35% from 2001. What is leading to the spike in cases? People are wondering if it's a recession-related statistic. We're joined by Amy Terrera. She's a pediatric nurse practitioner who forensically diagnoses child abuse at the Phoenix Children's Hospital. Good morning, Amy. Can you tell me what you've seen? Have you seen an increase in child abuse cases at the Phoenix Children's Hospital?
We have seen an increase. We had seen the same amount of child abuse cases by mid-August of this year that we had seen during all of 2008.
And what kind of things are you seeing? When we say child abuse, that can include a lot of things.
It can include a lot of things. And when you're talking about kids who are being evaluated for child abuse at a children's hospital, primarily you're talking young kids, typically under the age of 3, who have been beaten so badly that their injuries require them to be hospitalized. So these are the worst of the worst. These are kids who have head injury, which a lot of people recognize the term shaken baby syndrome. So we've got kids with head injuries, abdominal injuries, and multiple broken bones.
Does it also include neglect? If a parent may say loses health insurance and can't treat their child's ear infection and then the ear infection begins to bleed, does that also come under the category of child abuse?
That would be considered medical neglect. That's not something that we would evaluate, but hopefully in a situation like that, because those situations absolutely do happen, they may lose their electricity, they don't have refrigeration and their child's medications require refrigeration. So that could fall under medical neglect. Hopefully at that point, they would get services to help them because they're not necessary. That's not something they were doing intentionally. It's just a matter of the circumstances that they're in.
Well, therein lies a problem since the services have been getting cut back during the recession. But we're joined also by Jim Murovich, president and CEO of Prevent Child Abuse America. It's a national organization that builds awareness about and attempts to prevent child abuse and neglect. He joins us from Indianapolis. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
So I assume that you read these sobering statistics and decided that it was time to really let the legislators know that it was time to stop child abuse. And although it's obviously nobody's going to disagree that we should prevent child abuse, the question is, how does one do that?
Well, I think there's actually solutions to be found. First of all, though, there really is no silver bullet, and that the healthy development of a child is certainly the role of a parent. But we've got to do this as an entire country, as an entire community. But to solve the problem, we must not only make people aware of the adverse impacts of abuse, we got to engage them in the solutions. And there's three of them, I think. First, I think we have to encourage our congressional leaders to support the continued inclusion of high-quality home visitation services and health care reform bills. And both chambers of Congress right now have that in it, and that's good. Second, when a child tragedy occurs, I think we must not only grieve the tragedy, we must press our public officials to ask the simple question, what service or what action could have been available to prevent the tragedy from ever occurring? And then we should press them to develop public policy that could modify whatever practice was in place. And last, as a nation, I think we have to make it a social and cultural norm that when child abuse and neglect occurs, we find it unacceptable, that parenting is a tough job, that it is good for a parent to ask for help and not feel embarrassed, ashamed, or stigmatized, and asking for help is not a sign of poor parenting.
I think that third one is the most difficult, Jim Murovich, because people often like to think that child abuse happens among them, other people. It's completely alien from their own situations, and yet we find that child abuse is not relegated to any one part of the population. Certainly it's not poor people or middle class people, or it happens in all kinds of families across the country. And how do we know if this is related to the recession? Is perhaps stress from unemployment, is maybe they're in the house more often than they normally would be because a parent is unemployed now. Do we know if that is leading to a rise in child abuse cases?
Well, we don't have national data over the last 12 to 15 months, but I think intuitively, and certainly as we just heard in the prior comments, that it makes sense that child abuse and neglect has increased during these times because the research is clear. There's a clear relationship between stress and abuse. And as we all know, these are very stressful times for our families throughout the country. And you said something very important. This is not confined to people of lower social economic status. I was on a panel about not even a year ago, and one of the state welfare directors responded to the following question: have you seen an increase in abuse and neglect? His response was, yes, I have. And they said, in the center city. And he said, no, in the suburbs. For the first time, people are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs in the suburbs, and it's causing stress. And that's where we've been dedicating a lot of our resources.
And I think that's our takeaway. The recession could possibly be hurting the most vulnerable of our population, which is the children everywhere in America. Thanks to Jim Mrmovich, President and CEO of Prevent Child Abuse America. We also spoke with Amy Toreros, pediatric nurse practitioner at Phoenix Children's Hospital.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.